Now, thank you for your kind invitation tonight. It's good to see you. And it's maybe the second or third time that I've been in Meckle, Lower Meckle, Uphaven area. I'm new to Fife, you see. I'm just beginning to be a Fifer. Been here about a year now. Moved up to be near a family from England, but originally from Whitburn. But anyway, it's not me that's important. I like what you've got on your platform here. Preach Christ. That is the man that we want to present and share and preach this evening. Now, if you have a Bible, I hope you can all hear me okay. Mark chapter 2, that's in the New Testament. Mark's Gospel, which is the second book in Matthew, then Mark in the New Testament, chapter 2. And we're going to read what I think is a wonderful story about the Lord Jesus Christ and a man who is miraculously healed and also has his sins forgiven, more importantly. So we're going to read from verse 1 together. And again he, that is the Lord Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they were come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, that is a man that was paralyzed, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw the faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude of the crowd resorted unto him, and he taught them. And God will bless through us his word tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And I've been praying that God would just bless us and speak to us all tonight from his word, the Bible. Mark's Gospel. I don't know if you all have a Bible, but if you do, or if you've just recently purchased one, read it. I love reading the Bible. And it was through reading the Bible and listening to the Bible being preached that I became a Christian, a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ when I was the age of 9. Mark was also a believer on the Lord Jesus, and he is the man that is bringing to us his account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some suggest that he was a very close associate of the disciple, the follower Peter. But Mark begins his gospel in a wonderful way. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the word gospel is written outside in the hall, and it simply means good news. And Mark sets out, with the help and power of God, to record accurately for us the gospel, the good news of this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. Now, we've only got until 7:15, so I need to condense things tonight, but if you do have any questions, we might just make statements and move on. Please feel free to ask after the meeting finishes. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just an ordinary man. He was a real person here on earth about 2,000 years ago. But Mark declares the good news, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this wonderful person is the very Son of God. He is God himself. And the great news tonight is that God isn't some distant being far off in the sky. He is the Creator God. But the wonderful news tonight is that God has come to us. And God has spoken to this world. And the Bible says in one of my favourite books, in the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this. In these last days, it says, God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has spoken in a language that we can understand. And as Mark brings to us the life and person of the Lord Jesus, when we look at him, we learn something about the greatness and the fullness of the heart of the living God. And I think that's wonderful. And in this story this evening, this true account that happens in the life of the Lord Jesus, we learn something more about the great power of this man and, of course, his great miracles that he did. Mark sets out him as having power and authority in his teaching. Crowds gather to hear him. And it says in verse 22, it says, they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his teaching. That is in chapter 1. When they listened to him, and he taught them, not as the scribes, not as the teachers of the law, not as the religious leaders. There was something powerful. There was something compelling. And there was something so marked and stamped by God's authority as the Lord Jesus was preaching here in Galilee. But more than that, the Lord Jesus had power over demons. We don't hear really perhaps much about that in our society today in the UK, but we certainly do in other countries, for example in Africa, when much of it exists. But the Lord Jesus demonstrates his power even over the spirit world. And it speaks in verse 23 of the first chapter, and it says, a man had an unclean spirit, that is a demon, and the Lord Jesus commands him to come out. And the crowd say that they were amazed, that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. The Lord Jesus also had power to heal. Verse 34 in our chapter says that, of chapter 1, it says, and he healed many that were sick of various diseases, and he cast out many devils, and they came to him from every quarter, and no matter what kind of disease, the Lord Jesus had the power to heal. And you can almost perhaps feel the excitement and the thrill as, by the help of God and his Spirit, Mark is recording these words for the first time about this wonderful person who had such authority and power to teach and to heal and power over the demons and the spirit world. What an amazing person. And tonight it's a real joy to present him not only as the Son of God and the one who has real power, the power of God, but truly the Saviour of men and women and boys and girls. Well, what a story we have before us this evening. A man that was paralysed. What a life, eh? There's a teenager at school who is paralysed, and sadly, as a little boy of two, he was involved in a car accident and he was paralysed as a result of that. And sadly, you know, he never recovered. And the medication and all the doctors and nurses could do could never ever really enable this young teenager to recover from such a tragedy. And yet he comes in to school in his wheelchair, his motorised wheelchair, with a real smile on his face. And you know, it really does put things in perspective when you meet people like that on a daily basis. And so it's real, people that are paralysed. But let's come to the point of our story this evening. The wonderful thing is that this man that was paralysed had four friends. And you know, it's good to have friends, isn't it? One little simple practical point tonight is value your friends. Friendship's important. Because when you're going through difficult and tough times, like this paralysed man did, it's good to have friends. And it's important to be a good friend. And of course tonight we want to see one who is the very best friend, the Lord Jesus, who is able to help and to strengthen and to comfort in a way that no individual really can. They brought this man to the Lord Jesus. I tell you, that's the best thing they could have done for their friend. They brought him, and they took time and they took effort, and they came right to the house. They couldn't get in through the door, so they went up onto the roof. And I always find this story quite amusing. You know, what would the owners think about these people getting up onto the roof and starting to take the tiles up off the roof until there was a great big hole, until you could see the Lord Jesus and the crowd down below? Maybe the house belonged to one of the friends that was kicking the lame man. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus was in full flow in his preaching, and suddenly he stops. And he looks up, and he sees this man being lowered down in his bed before him. And the Lord Jesus says something so interesting, something amazing, something unexpected. He says to them in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." That is amazing, isn't it? As the Lord Jesus looks at this man, and all his feet paralysed, couldn't walk, and yet he says to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I mean, what a bold statement. First of all, we learn that the Lord Jesus sees that this man has a greater need than his physical disability. But he has a spiritual need, and that is the need to have his sins forgiven. And we're going to learn this evening that this is still man's need. This is still the need of individuals today. This was still my need when I was the boy of 9, brought up in a Christian family, knew the Bible inside out, but I didn't have a relationship with God, and I didn't have my sins forgiven. And that is so necessary if we want to have a place in heaven. The Lord Jesus really valued and saw that the need of this man was firstly to have his sins forgiven. You'll notice tonight that it was when he saw their faith. Four of them came plus him, and he saw their faith. How wonderful that his four friends knew, they believed, and they trusted, because they had heard, no doubt, all about this man, the Lord Jesus. They had heard about his power to heal and to cast out demons. And they were no doubt thinking, this is the man that can help our friend. You see, all hope was not lost. Every hope was found in the person of Jesus Christ. What is faith? It's a word that we so often use, don't we? Have faith in yourself, people say. Have faith in this. Have faith. Some people are even talking about, you know, having faith in a sadly football team and so many things, you know, keeping the faith. How many times have we heard that quotation? Well, maybe not in these parts, but certainly we used to say it. People used to say it in Leicester where we came from. But faith. Faith is trusting. Faith is believing with all your confidence that something is real and something is true even when you can't see it. We've got faith tonight that, you know, as these lights are on, that there's power and there's electricity being supplied to them. You're all sitting in your seats tonight with confidence and faith that they're holding you up. And you've all got confidence, you know, and trust that when you get in your car it'll start and it'll take you home safely. Hopefully it will. But, you know, we all exercise faith and trust sort of in different ways in everyday life. But when we come to the faith that the Bible speaks of, it's faith in the person of Jesus Christ that really counts, that makes all the difference. For a person to have their sins forgiven and to have a place in heaven, trusting, relying, having 100% confidence, not just with your head, but with completely with all your heart and full assurance in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a wonderful chapter all about faith, in verse 6, it says this: but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. So tonight, here were these individuals who were coming to this man, and they were coming in faith. The Lord Jesus makes this astounding claim. Son, your sins are forgiven. I mean, what a claim to make. And of course, these religious leaders were sitting there and they were getting worried. You could almost imagine the frowning expression on their faces. And they were saying, who is this man that can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? And they were right. Because truly, only God can forgive sins. Only God, in the greatness of his power, can forgive and cleanse a person and free them from their sins. They said he was blaspheming. Because in claiming to forgive sins, this man, Jesus Christ, was therefore claiming to be God. And that's just the point of the story. That we hear, we see the evidence so crystal clear that Jesus Christ truly is God, the Son of God, and that yes, he does have the power to forgive sins. And there's two things here in our passage that show us who he truly is. The Lord Jesus says, it says of him in this verse, it says he knew what they were thinking, reasoning in their hearts. And let me just find the verse. Verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. The religious leaders weren't even saying anything. But the Lord Jesus knew what they were thinking. He was a person who could not only read people's minds, but he could read their hearts. Tell me, I don't know another person like that. The Lord Jesus is absolutely unique in every way. He is the Son of God. And more so, the Lord Jesus says to them, which is easier? To say to this man, get up, take up your bed and walk, or to say that your sins are forgiven? And the Lord Jesus says something wonderful. He says, but that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says to this man, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way into thine house. Second piece of evidence to show that Jesus Christ truly was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, he gave this man the power to walk again. And in so doing, he was showing that an inward change had taken place. that this man truly had his sins forgiven. And what a lesson it was for those religious leaders who were speculating and questioning the identity of the Lord Jesus. Sins. You might be thinking tonight, well, what is it all about? What is sins? What kind of sins did this man have, and why did this man need his sins forgiven? Let's answer those questions tonight. Maybe sin's not a word that perhaps you hear much of today, but it's a word the Bible uses. And maybe when we think of sins, you might be thinking about faults, mistakes, wrongdoing, evil, murder, envy, lust. And we could go right down through an endless list. And you would be right. The Bible talks about these things, and we see people in the Bible who did such things. You know, tonight, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, something very solemn and yet very challenging and yet very true. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that verse is telling us that every one of us has missed the standard of God's true perfection that he has set and that he has shown in the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is failing to meet God's standards. And what's more so, it is living a self-centered life without God in the world that he has made. As you know, tonight, I look back at my own life and I realise just how self-centred I really was. But you know, God in his love and kindness saved me and changed my heart and my destiny for heaven. And you know, tonight, he can still do the same. But sin has serious consequences. Sin with God is no light thing. Sin can't be just swept under the carpet with God. Sin separates us from God. Sin separated this man from God and from the Lord Jesus. Sin separates people from a wonderful and full life with him and a place in heaven. If sins are unconfessed and left undealt with and unjudged, then the Bible speaks about a person having to face the punishment for their sins. Romans 6 verse 23 says that the wages, the due reward, the result of sin is death, eternal death. And ultimately that leads to the place called hell. But you know, tonight there's great hope. There's tremendous hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. And you know, we all have a responsibility to come before God, because we all have, like this man, mistakes. Things that we've done and said that we know we shouldn't have, and ultimately sin is right at the root of our nature that makes us do and say things that are wrong and that displease God and make us live a life that is full of self and reject his Son, the Lord Jesus. Tonight, Christ is the answer. Isn't that right? Christ is the answer, isn't he? Come on. He is the answer. He is the only answer to the person, the personal issue of a person's sins. Let me read to you a verse in 1 Peter and in chapter 3, verse 18. Peter was a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus, and by no means was Peter perfect because he made many mistakes. But Christ changed his life and it was never to be the same again. And he followed him, and this is what he says about him in verse 18 of chapter 3. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins. The just," that's the Lord Jesus, "for the unjust," that's you and me, "that he might bring us to God, that But listen to it. That he might bring us to God. And we can see this evening that there is a way back to God. Sin, yes, separates us from God. But God's way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ brings us to God. And tonight, for a person to be saved and to know their sins forgiven, those sins have to be paid in full in punishment. And you know, the wonderful news is that the Lord Jesus lived for three and a half years in public view of people, all kinds of people. But he came with his mission and with his purpose, that he might lay down his life upon the cross. We've sang about it tonight, called Calvary. Luke, another follower of the Lord Jesus, talks about Calvary, Golgotha, as is otherwise known. And there, Jesus Christ, taken by cruel Roman soldiers, and they put him on a cross, but the Lord Jesus was there for a great purpose and for a great reason, that he might face and suffer the punishment for sins. The Lord Jesus became that sacrifice for sins. And you know, tonight I find that absolutely staggering. I can't understand it. We're preaching about things tonight which in some ways are just unexplainable. And yet, that is because it's all about God. It's all about a God of miracles. And what Jesus Christ did on the cross is fact, and it's true that he suffered for sins. Tonight I know with assurance that he suffered for my sins, everyone. All the sins that I did last week. And the amazing thing is this, every sin that I'm going to commit, even, God forbid, this week, until the end of my life, Jesus Christ has taken care of everyone. Isn't that amazing? You should forgive me for shouting, won't you? But it is exciting, isn't it? It is good news, isn't it? It is amazing to think that this person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on a cross, paid the price, faced the punishment for every one of my sins. And everyone here. And tonight, you know, we can point you to a person who has dealt with the great problem and issue of sin. Did that finish him on the cross? No. Jesus Christ is alive. And yes, this is part of the great good news of the message of God's salvation, that he rose again on the third day. And it shows us that everything that Jesus did upon the cross was real and it was true, and it becomes effective to you and me. And tonight, if we want to know our sins forgiven, and that is so important, if we want to have a right relationship with God and a place in heaven and to avoid separation forever from a holy God, then he wants us to come to him and respond in faith. What does that mean? God wants us to repent. He wants us to turn our back on our life that we've been living and our back on the world. And he wants us to face Christ. And he wants us to say yes to him and no to the world. And he wants us to show a true, heartfelt conviction and sorrowfulness about how we've lived. And he wants us to confess our sins and say we're sorry to God, and to name them even in his presence, and to pray to him and to say, yes, I've made a mess of my life. Yes, I've messed up. Yes, the Bible says truly that I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ died for me, for every one of my sins. And by receiving him, you can know full and free forgiveness. The Bible talks about, I think, something that helps us with the meaning of forgiveness. And in the middle of her Bible, there's a man called David who didn't write all the Psalms, but he wrote the vast majority of them. And David, by no means, was perfect either. But he knew about sinning, but he also knew about God's forgiveness too. And this is what David writes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved our transgressions, or another word for sins, but slightly different meaning, but transgressions from us. The east is from the west, an immeasurable distance. You can't measure that distance because you just keep going. And that's what forgiveness really means. It really means that God has the power and ability to put every one of your sins out of your sight and out of his sight, that you might never ever see them again. It means to send away that they might never ever return. Basically, it really means that we might be freed from the power and from the consequences of our sins. What a God, eh? What a wonderful God. Tonight, maybe you've been toying with the idea, sitting on the fence. I'm going to be brave and finish tonight with an illustration. These are nice chairs, you know, you've got in the hall. You know, I could believe with all my heart that that chair could take my weight. Just the same as that I could believe, with all my head that Jesus Christ is true and that he came that sinners might be forgiven. But tonight, it's not until I am sitting on the chair, that's when I'm resting. That is when I'm trusting. That's the faith and trust that the Bible talks about. It's resting and trusting with all your heart and with all your confidence. Because the demons believe and tremble. But God wants you to come, and he wants you to rest fully in him and in his word, and to take him at his word. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a great thing to be a Christian. I'm now 38, and I tell you, he has never ever failed me yet. You'll go through your difficulties. It's amazing what happens in a year. I was here a year ago at the conference upstairs, and since then, my mum, who I loved so much, passed away because of cancer. But she was a believer in the Lord Jesus. And I say that from my own personal experience, because God takes you through. God takes you through life when you know him as Saviour and friend. And when you have Christ at the centre of your life, then you don't need to fear. You don't need to fear about tomorrow, and you don't need to fear the future, because to know him and to know his forgiveness is not only to have a place in heaven and to be brought into a right relationship with God, but it's a daily walk with him. And my, what a fantastic walk it is. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just come quietly into your presence tonight. How amazing and how awesome and how great you are. What a wonderful person Jesus Christ really is. And we thank you tonight that you sent him to be the Saviour of the world. Thank you tonight that he's my Saviour. Thank you tonight that he's the Saviour to many here. And we bless you that he's still able and has that power to forgive sins. Father, we leave your word with those that have listened to it this evening, and we pray that you would bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening.